Welcome to a series of audio interviews direct from the Verbier Festival in Switzerland, the 2.5-week celebration of music which takes place up in the beautiful Swiss Alps, is now in its 21st year and attracts the creme de la creme of classical musicians, from pianist Evgeny Kissin and soprano Barbara Fritterly to cellist Misha Maisky, violinist Joshua Bell and conductor Daniel Harding. So it seemed like a wonderful opportunity to talk to some of them while they were here all in one place. I'm Oliver Condy, the editor of BBC Music Magazine, and in the fifth of our interviews from the Verbier Festival, I chatted to French violinist Renaud Capuçon, himself a veteran of the festival. We discussed the Verbier Festival's mix of generations of musicians, our current obsession with technique at the expense of musicianship, and his love of performing chamber music with his family and friends. So Renaud, it's great to meet you. You've been to the Verbier Festival so many years. In fact, I think you started in the festival orchestra or in the academy.
No, in the academy. I played for Isaac Stern in 1995. I had this course with him here, which was my first visit. And then Martin invited me for a recital in 1996. And since then, I think I missed 1 year, but I have been playing every year. So you've almost
been coming for 20 years.
Yeah, which is amazing.
That is incredible. And what do you think you've learned from your years here?
You know, what I love here is, first of all, meeting some people that you don't meet in general. Because, for example, violinists, we always see each other programmed and with orchestra, but we hardly play together. Mm. So I met a lot of colleagues here, violinists. Also a lot of course, other people that I met here for the first time, great artists. And what I like is also the fact that you can be a young artist. I was a perfect example because I was 17 when I came here first time, or 18. And then you develop, you become a bit older. Now I'm not young anymore. But I see again these kids, which reminds me what I was. You know, so it's a kind of, it's a long road. And then you see people like Pressler, who is playing with young people also. And I think it's wonderful. It's this kind of mixed up generation. And I really believe, and I do this in my festival index also a lot, this mix of generation, making some, you know, young violinist or pianist of 20 years old with somebody of 40, somebody of 60, nobody has the same energy. But together, it just brings something absolutely explosive, and I think it's wonderful.
I think it's important to learn a lot from the older generation it is the younger generation. I mean, the experience that someone like Menahem Pressler has
is the example, because, I mean, and I really think the generation of today, people who are 16, 20, if you speak to them about Adolf Busch, they don't know who it is, you know. And for me, there is a paradox between what they can get on YouTube. They can get everything, which we didn't. But still, we were more curious because we had to go to a bibliothèque or grab things, you know, look for things. I was crazy with looking for stuff. But I have the feeling now, as they have everything, they are less curious. You see what I mean? Mm. It's there. So, okay, oh, Milstein, yeah, okay. It's very strange. And in a way, it's too easy. Culture is not deep inside them. It's very strange. But there are some exceptions, of course. But, and I think it's very interesting to just to be part of. For example, now, if I speak to a young guy, and I said I played with Abado, Savalich, Frubeck, oh, they're all dead. So already I can speak to them about people who they will never know. Mm. It's very strange how it goes fast with the age, you know?
There is some sort of golden sort of era, I suppose, that these people are in contact with. And as you say, we seem to live in a much more sort of, I don't know, less of a coloured era, if you like. Yeah. It's less multicoloured. It's a little bit more
uniform.
Yeah.
The level has never been so high.
That's also true.
I mean,
it's a paradox, isn't it?
It's a paradox. I mean, Isaac Stern today, in terms of violinistic, you know, would be not the best violinist in the world. You know what I mean? I give this example
technically,
because for me he was amazing always. But just to give an example, there are so many guys who play much better than anybody. But who has the sound of Stern? Who has the sound of Milstein? Who has the sound of Grumio? When you hear such people, it's so rare that then it's wonderful. But the general culture is gone. And it's full of paradox, so it's what I said.
Mm. But of course, today you talked about YouTube and being able to get anything on YouTube. And I think it sometimes can be a question of hearing, but not necessarily listening.
Absolutely. And it's not the same like going to a concert. And just also, I think everything is so easy. We travel everywhere we go. You know, I was in LA 3 days ago. So it's so easy and goes so quick. Perhaps for the younger generation, there is no school, notion of school. Before, there was really the Russian school and you could really hear it. Now, you can live in Vancouver and have a Russian school and having a French teacher, you know. So I guess this makes also this kind of, which is wonderful because everybody can work with everybody and there is no border. In another way, it's like for any country, you know, the food things, it's a bit McDonald's now everywhere. And it's a little bit the same with the music, to do a little caricature.
But at the same time, I mean, you said that Isaac Stern would not be the greatest violinist in the world now.
No, I didn't say he wouldn't be the greatest. I mean, technically, some people would be much... That's what I meant. But he would still be one of the greatest in the world.
Oh, of course. But what I suppose I'm leading on to say is that the technical sort of prowess, the technical ability of some of these young students is staggering, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, but especially in comparison with their level of or their maturity, musical maturity, which is zero. They have no idea. I remember somebody played for me Strauss Sonata, just absolutely perfect. And I asked him at the end, do you know Metamorphose? Do you know Four Last Songs? Do you know Handenleben? And he was, I said, what do you know from Strauss? He said, nothing. And I could hear it from the first note. And I said, well, it was in Paris Concert. I said, go to listen and come back tomorrow. And then he came with eyes closed and said, it's amazing, it's a world. Then he played completely differently.
But he's got YouTube and Spotify.
Yeah, but they are not curious, of course, but they don't even think. Mm. And not all of them. But, you know, it's just an example. And I think that's what's amazing here is you can be a student, you can be playing in the orchestra, in the camp, very young, and still be hearing Mata Gerish at night. So this is a very, it's like a injection of everything, you know. And if you are clever enough and if you can just take like a sponge, like I did when I was very young, I learned a lot from people here and also everywhere else, but especially here.
Well, you're playing the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. Yeah. The orchestra, the Verbier Festival Orchestra, is quite something, isn't it, to play with?
It's wonderful. I played with them already, Brahms Double and a couple of other things. It's every year different, so you can't say... So every year it's a different level, which is always very high. And of course, the sound is completely different with the conductor you have. I'm happy to play with Jaap, which I played with Mendelssohn like 8 years ago.
This is Jaap van Sveen.
Yeah. So it would be nice to see how we developed, both of us, you know.
Yes, of course.
We got older. But...
I mean, one of the joys of Verbier that many of the people I've interviewed this festival have talked about is the ability to play with people that you've never played with before.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure that was the same with the Weinberg quintet.
Oh, it was the first time we all played together.
Is that right?
First time I met Miklos Pereni, first time I played with Noam Krimai, first time I played, no, Kirill and the two Kirill I played with them. So it's, and then suddenly you meet in a room and nobody plays a piece.
Yeah.
And you come from zero.
So new piece, new colleagues.
Yeah. And you have to create a sound. It's a huge challenge. And that's why I was quite happy with the result, because in 2 years old, you know, it's tough. It's very tough. It's especially to create a string quartet sound, unified vibrato. I mean, it could have been much better if we would have, you know, 7 rehearsals. But this can't be. So, you know, you have to deal with the calendars of everybody. But I think it's very exciting. Of course, it's a risk always here, because putting names together doesn't obligatory works. Mm. Sometimes it's less convincing. Sometimes it's very convincing. Sometimes it's just... even couples who meet musically, people meet and then they don't stop playing together. Mm. So, and I have to say, not because he was there, but Martin, whom I know since more than 20 years now, he has this flair to know which conductor is going to follow. He knows. It's very impressive how he has this, and not a lot of people have this flair.
But it's a risk too, isn't it?
It takes risk, of course. And he's okay to accept sometimes that it doesn't really work 100%, but he takes a risk, and it's wonderful.
You see, I went to the concert this morning with
Plesniev and Isalis.
Isalis and
Mikhail must have been Klinger. Very interesting, no?
Well, it was fascinating because I would never have put those two musicians together.
Absolutely.
But the music they made was magical, and it was spontaneous, sure. And it was so colourful.
Yeah.
And they played a cello sonata by Plesniev.
And what kind of music is it?
It was incredible. It was a mix sort of Shostakovich, Rachmaninoff, Prokofiev, you know, it was
but
very much sort of the
20th
century. He's a wonderful musician, but it was a privilege to hear him in a chamber.
Yeah, I know.
Atmosphere. And you seem to really cherish the chamber.
Well, you know, I believe this is such a wonderful way to share music. And also, it's if you just play concerto, I couldn't do it only because I would miss. It's like the le pain quotidien, like you know. And when now we just played a couple of times old Mozart quintets with Clement Sagan and some other colleagues, and you know, if you for me chamber music is also a part of the fact that I love to share in a small group. It's also a wonderful. It's like a, I can say, if you begin to be not playing really in tune, if you don't work in a chamber music group with people like this, it can't happen. You can't. So it's like a warning always. You know, if it's my way to keep always in shape and also respecting the others. So, and I just love it. I think and when most of the greatest composers wrote their chef d'oeuvre for chamber music, like Brahms, Schubert, Beethoven, Mozart.
Yeah, naturally. And of course, you've got your brother Goethe to bounce off.
Of course, so we play a lot, and we did a lot in the past. Now we do a bit less, and it's great also to when we meet again. To it's like a couple. We can't be we had a too much close couple before, and now we are more separate. But when we meet, it's more strong.
Yes,
it's stronger. So
yes, and I think you're playing together in an arrangement of the Shostakovich.
I know. I play with tomorrow. I play with Clements.
Okay.
Clements and Kirill and a wonderful percussion group. This is also my first time. And when Martin 2 years ago asked me, what would you like to do? And I said, I want to do this piece because I always dreamed to do it, but it's complicated to have three percussionists, all the things. He said, okay, great. So we do it tomorrow.
And it's a wonderful place to sort of experiment, isn't it?
Because absolutely. Well, to experiment, but live on internet with a lot of pressure. So it's not just like, okay, let's read it. You really have to be ready. And also knowing that in the halls there are, you know, great pianists. Sometimes Alfred Brendel is sitting there. I mean, you have Radu Lupu. All of them are here.
Yeah.
So you can't just think, no, it doesn't work. So it's a very funny mixture of everybody meeting and have parties at night. In the other way, when you're on stage, you know they're all in the hall. Mm. So.
And outside the Verbier Festival, you've got your festival Aches, and your solo schedule. And your chamber music schedule, no doubt. It's a busy life, isn't it?
And first of all, my family.
And your family.
It's a very busy life, but you know, it's what I always say. When music is your passion, you don't have the feeling to work. You just feel it when you get tired and when you have to cancel things because you are getting sick. Then you think, okay, I do too much. But if not, I could do even more music. You know what I mean? It's so much... when I rehearse 6 hours a piece, which I love... Okay, I'm tired because it's tiring, but I'm so excited.
Mm.
So my only problem actually is to refuse more and more interesting projects to have time with my family because this is my first thing and I love my wife and my kids, so I want to be with them. So sometimes it's a great paradox also to say no to something that you would like to do, but you have to see on the long lines.
And are your children old enough to play instruments yet?
Oh, my son is 3 and a half. So.
Okay.
But he will begin now, in September. Yes. He will begin piano and violin and tennis. And I would love him to play tennis.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes, but he must do as much as possible. He could make his debut at Verbier on the stage.
Oh, next year, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
No.
René Capuçon, thank you very much.
Thanks to you. Thanks to you.